Today on Force Feedback, Toxicity in Gaming Communities, the relevance of E3, and the obsession with remakes and reboots. Coming up next, it's a brand new one.
Force Feedback.
Greetings, Indie Warriors. Welcome to a brand new Force Feedback. Just the two of us this week. Should be interesting.
Lucky us.
Really like talking to each other. This is going to be crappy.
God, we got to do this for a whole 20 minutes.
Maybe longer. Just kidding. We love each other. And we love you out there, indie fans. We hope you enjoy the show today. Three hot button topics in gaming. That's what Force Feedback is all about. You can also listen to this show on audio feeds if you head on over to anchor.fm/idreamofindie. You want to take us on the go? Some of you perhaps don't always have video on the go. You want to listen to us through your speakers on your commute to work or wherever else? Feel free to enjoy the show that way. YouTube.com/idreamofindie, of course, is our channel, and idreamofindie.com. Lots of information there.
Full disclosure, we don't prepare for these in advance. So
no, there's no scripting in most of what we do on the channel.
Whatever you're hearing is our hot take at this exact moment in time.
But every Thursday, we do post in the community section, and we get some feedback from you great fans out there who inspired the title of the show, of course.
Yes.
And racing wheels that go like that, you know.
Some Force Feedback, yeah.
So we had 128 votes on this first topic. We're wondering, what do you think creates toxicity in certain gaming communities? This is a deep, layered conversation. I think about it a lot, Silent Suns. Mm-hmm. I hate to see this on any gaming channel where you have hate or someone spewing nasty comments in the comment section below. And a lot of the creators let it happen because it's an engagement, so they're okay with it. Should we, as a society, be okay with venomous hatred spewing out in the comment section?
You just think about what you just said for a moment. I just want you to think about it.
Okay.
Does that sound okay?
No, it sounds terrible.
Exactly. Yeah. And unfortunately, it's not just a problem in gaming. It's a problem everywhere on the internet because people can hide behind their mask of anonymity, you know?
Yeah. And it's easy for them to do. And hopefully there's no repercussions. But we've also seen a lot of times where this can spill over into the real world. These things that are said by hateful trolls or whatever you want to call them can affect real people. So that's why I always encourage you to really think about what you say before you put it out there. You don't know what's going on with certain individuals, what's wrong inside of them. Maybe they're suffering with depression or they have a history of it and you don't know about that. You say something that sets them off. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm sure that happens a lot. I mean, there's people who have lost their lives due to,
unfortunately, it's a very sad thing. Yeah,
bullying.
Creators that have, you know, committed suicide because of comments and hatred.
Just trying to avoid the word specifically, right, but yeah, but
it's important.
You said it.
You know, it's important to talk about it.
I think.
But we have quite a few people interested in this topic, as you might imagine here. So, 128 votes. 44% believe Silent Science, politics, and the current political climate are kind of driving this hatred that's out there right now. Scored reviews, and that pertains more to the gaming aspect of things. We actually had 13% that believe these are contributing as well. Trolls that can disguise themselves on the internet, which you touched on a little bit, that's at 34%, or something else entirely. We had a lot of comments on this. Do you want to hop into one quick, and then we'll kind of get more into our own thoughts?
Sure, I got a lot of thoughts.
All right. Flower Angel Rave. I think it just depends on certain factors, like the personality types of the majority of people in a particular community behaving badly, looking for the bad in everything, trying to pick fights constantly, someone being a bully, and things like racism or other such bad behavior. And that just being allowed. I think it all comes down to allowing negative behavior to go unchecked, which leads to communities ending up worse, and some people eventually leaving that community altogether. People won't agree on everything, who votes for who, I agree with that, but when people can't be civil, it does lead to a negative climate. It's also about how they treat others in general. I actually did leave a community at one point because they seemed very anti-LGBT+. Among other things, and given that I'm part of that community, I didn't feel welcome in the end, even though they didn't know. I'm very sorry to hear that it got to the point where you actually no longer feel welcome. I don't think that's right for anyone. I don't like singling out individuals or telling them they're not welcome here or in anything like that. We here at I Dream of Indie, we don't necessarily shout to the moon about our beliefs or get into politics or anything like that, but you should already know everyone's welcome here. We don't really care about who you're dating, what's your sexual preference, your color, anything like that. We just want to talk about the games, and I think that's why people are really frustrated. Silent Signs. They're sick of going to channels of interest to them and trying to learn about certain topics, and it becomes this whirlwind of nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, they're two separate things entirely, though. This is just making people feel uncomfortable for the sake of being a troll? Like, yes. Why?
Yeah, what are you actually benefiting from that? Do you get off on hurting someone? That just seems like a huge mental health issue you're going through if that's the case.
I agree. And I know everybody's got something going on. You know, maybe they didn't come from a great family and that's the only way they know how to communicate or get attention, you know? But that doesn't make it right to make people feel uncomfortable. Just be nice.
I think it's a good point, Silent Signs. Do a lot of these trolls or these hate comments come from individuals that are themselves suffering on the inside? What do you think of that?
I mean, I try to understand it. I know that those people are more often than not just seeking attention for themselves, right?
But is that the kind of attention you want? That's what I wonder.
Well, you know, how they say any news is good, like any press is good press.
I just don't think that's true. But yes, they do say
I don't think it's true either, but I think the same applies to attention for some people. They need attention more than they need to be liked.
Yes, I think that's reasonable. Let's read another comment here. This is a fascinating subject. Adriana Amato says, I once quit a gaming community because I felt like my comments were dismissed and I didn't feel valued at all. I'm really cautious now and need to feel my way before I commit to a community now. I mean, it's a little scary to put yourself out there, especially when you're trying to be real and genuine. Well, how do you think we feel? You know, we talk about the echo chamber a lot. A lot of people doing the same things, playing it safe, and we really put ourselves out there. We're the same people off camera, I like to believe anyways, as we are on the camera. It's a scary thing to do, isn't it? Because you just never know who's watching you, what they're going to think or say about you, make up about you. Scary world, isn't it? And it takes courage.
Yeah, it takes courage to exist on the internet these days, I think. Just yeah. Strange. And I don't just mean like us on camera. I mean for you to be participating in the comments section, you know?
For sure, yes. And, you know, I don't want to necessarily single out women, but they do deal with a lot in the gaming industry. They're far less hired than males. 21% are in the industry entirely versus all of the men that are in the industry.
There's a lot of toxicity in the industry in general.
In general, yes. But I do feel like, and I've talked to a lot of streamers about this too, that yeah, they get these nasty comments towards them about the way they look or the way they're dressed or, you know, trying to pick them up even, which is just absurd. No streamer, this is probably a good rule of thumb here, no streamer's gonna hook up with you. Like, you're not gonna say any, it's not gonna happen.
I'm not here to look for a date.
It's just not gonna happen in my mind. I wanna know the real success rate of that. I think it's probably zero.
I suppose it's possible, but very unlikely. We have a comment from Synaptic Mulch. I think society in general at the moment is becoming more divided and isolated, so perhaps people are less open-minded. The anonymity the internet provides, it gives people the platform to be horrible. I can't imagine people would say anything like they do face-to-face. People hide behind ideas of free speech for what amount to hate crimes. It's ludicrous. I'd like to think these people are a minority. I mean, look at the comments section here. It's all good. Well, we try, you know,
we try
to foster positivity and, you know, we don't tell you can't speak your mind, certainly.
No, certainly. We love to debate. This show is all about debating.
Encourage your opinions, but there's a difference between having a civil debate with people and talking something through and then just shouting at someone.
Absolutely. If it's a hate comment, I have no problem kicking you off this channel because it has no place anywhere, in my opinion. If you're going to challenge or make fun of my weight or the way I look, what good does that serve anyone? What good does it serve our channel? It has nothing to do with indie games. I'm all for being challenged. I love discussing all of these great games. You might disagree with me. I think that's great. But you don't have to be offensive. You're not going to offend Silent Signs. She's really tough anyways. You're not going to make fun of her look on my watch. It's not going to happen. Just you're not going to do that to anybody here. We have a loving community, and I think that's important, and I just don't want hate on this channel in any form. Skepticism writes in and says, I would say the same thing that causes toxicity in other hobbies, work areas of life, inflexible thinking. I like that term, inflexible thinking.
Yeah, that really nails it right on the head.
Whether it's, quote, I'm the best or this faction I identify myself with does it right, it's the inability to look at other perspectives or see a game topic from the big picture. The need to be right and defend your tribe. I would also say maybe age. The younger the person is, the less mature they probably are. I think that's a good point you made there at the end, Skepticism. I often think that in many cases, these people making these comments, they're probably not even gamers, and if they are, they're really young. They're not really thinking through what they're saying.
Yes and no. I agree that younger people can be less mature, but I've had some interactions with younger people that have been much more forward-thinking.
And oh, sure. We have some in the Discord, some great younger folks.
Considerate than some of the older folks that I deal with in real life.
Yeah.
You know, just because age does not equate to how good or bad of a person you are, you know?
I think something, too, that's helped our channel is the fact that we have a certain age bracket. We see the analytics, and it's about, you know, the majority of our crowd is around our age, in that 34 bracket to 40.
Makes sense.
So it does kind of make sense to me that we have less of these troll-type comments, because we just have people that have been through more experiences. You learn. I used to do stupid things when I was young. We all used to do stupid things when we were young, say stupid things, and you learn from those experiences, don't you? And I think ultimately the goal is to become better, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's just young people that are out there on the internet spewing hate. That's all I'm saying.
No, it's definitely not just young people. Yeah, of course not. Rewinding for Losers writes in and says, people with huge egos. I try and stay away from people that think they're better than anyone else. But you did just say Rewinding's for Losers. Rewinding's great, actually. It's very important to go to your local video store and make sure that you've rewound the VHS. No, I'm just kidding. That's going way back in time. Any thoughts on this, Silent Sons?
Egos can certainly be part of it. I think that just assuming that you're right because you're the best is a bad way to view the world. And,
sure.
You know.
That's your opinion, of course, right? But I can agree with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, you know, you got to consider that every person on this planet has a different lived experience, be it because they're a different nationality or come from a different, you know, religious upbringing or,
sure.
You know, they have a different identification than you in general. So you can't just assume that your way is always right.
No, I agree with you. But, you know, there is one place egos do have a place, and that's in professional wrestling, right? You got to have an ego.
I wouldn't know.
To be a great wrestler.
We need ex-hardcore gamer here to justify that point for you.
Well, you know, you were playing Solitaire recently, and people were commenting how they wanted a sexy boy version of the Solitaire game. And I was saying Shawn Michaels, you know, maybe... Make a deal here. Let's get Shawn Michaels in a solid.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't need any of those games. But hey, you know, that's your opinion.
Here's another great indie warrior here. The Evoker user writes in and says, everything on the list that we mentioned, they're referring to the poll that we talked about earlier. But it also comes from high expectations as well. Like when a game gets delayed and the developer gets death threats. This is crazy to me. So I'm going to stop the comment right there.
Yeah.
How are you threatening someone over a video game? Somebody explain this to me. I lose my cool to this one.
I can't explain it to you. I don't see a reason that anyone should get death threats over
video
games in general.
Over anything. Like, this is unbelievable to me.
I mean, unless you have legitimately murdered people and you know, you're a terrible human being.
Sure. Anyways, let's go back to the comment. I didn't mean to cut you off, the Evoker user. Or when someone doesn't agree on something about an upcoming game and gets slammed by a cult fan base who are willing to follow the company everywhere, or when people target some developers due to their possible affiliation with the game. Personally, I think that media advertising and developer cult followings can be just as toxic since they create high expectations. Creating a scenario when some fans are willing to send threats because of a delay they don't want, because a game has insert content here, or is unfinished and broken. For me personally, I don't like games coming out broken, of course. Nobody should like that. And you paid your hard-earned money, but you have to have a line here. You just can't threaten these people. It's a video game at the end of the day. I'm sorry you're upset about it. Generally, nowadays, they're gonna refund you if you're that angry. But what's the end goal here? I just don't get it. Do you want to destroy the person to the point where they're ruined and their studio has such a bad reputation that they're depressed? And I just don't see the end game, do you?
I mean, it's perfectly reasonable to leave bad reviews for a game that's broken.
Sure. Sure, I don't have a problem with that, but taking it to the next level is what I'm talking about.
If the bad reviews are what's giving the game studio a bad reputation, I mean, you can't blame people for expressing.
I'm not talking about the bad reviews. I'm totally fine with that. I'm talking about taking it to the next level as far as threatening them, tweeting them death threats.
Of course not. I just be nice, return the game.
Yes.
You know,
move on with your life.
Or learn your lesson and say, okay, this is how this studio puts out games. Maybe I won't buy the next one, you know?
Sure, or maybe, you know, do some research. There's a lot of sources out there right now. You can kind of learn things before you go out day one and buy something. I know it's exciting to get something on the first day sometimes.
We've all been disappointed by games that we've purchased
at
some point or other.
But that's, you know, you got I Dream of Indie here. We're always happy to help you out and try to point you in the right direction. We would never mislead anyone. We try to tell you the truths about a game and some of the things we don't like. We've had to be brutally honest at times. It's tough, isn't it?
I don't like being negative, but I try to spin it into a positive and make it a matter of constructive criticism.
Sure.
You know,
sure,
there's a nice way to go about something where you're not jumping down someone's throat and telling them that they're a horrible person and that they should, you know,
right.
Stop making games, you know?
Yeah, you know, like, hey, I didn't like your game. This part of the game wasn't very good. I'm sure you're a fine person, though. Don't make it personal, I guess, at the end of the day.
It's just a video game.
All right, so that was quite the topic, Silent Signs. I'm glad we got to discuss that.
There's so much more that can be said about this. Our main message of I Dream of Indie is just don't be a dick.
That's our one rule. In fact, that's a new slogan I kind of came up with over the last few weeks. It's really simple. Just don't be a dick and you'll have no issues whatsoever. But that can apply to anything in life, whether it's YouTube comments or just in general in public even, you know, rude people cutting you in line. Just be considerate. That's all I'm asking.
Be kind to one another. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Absolutely. Don't knock people because based on what their political beliefs are or
anything
like
that. Or what they look like or what they, you know, believe.
You know, it's... because at the end of the day here, we all bleed that indie blood, don't we?
I hope so.
Topic number two, Silent Signs. What is it?
What do you think is in store for the future of large gaming expos like E3? Will they be around as the live events we know them? Will they be exclusively digital in the future? Will they die out as the internet basically provides constant updates on gaming news?
It's true, trust me.
Or something else.
4% said something else, but the majority here was that they will always be around as the live events we know. 44%, 22% with the exclusive digital, and 29% that they will die out as the internet provides. So there's a good amount of people here that believe these conventions are actually going to die at some point.
I mean, nothing lasts forever, right?
Here's my thing, Silent Science, and maybe a lot of you won't agree with this, but I think in a way, in everything but the name, E3 is kind of already dead. It's basically just a name. It's a banner for various different companies just having their own online press events.
Here's a question. Do we think that COVID put the nail in the coffin last year?
I think it certainly didn't help, and it really pushed along this idea of companies doing their own thing, having their own events, and not having to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to E3, set up booths, go through the whole process. It's just so much easier to stream your own. Now, some of these streams, like Devolver, which we did a live reaction to, still had big production values behind it. Clearly, they spent some money on that, which is totally cool, but I just don't know if we need something like E3 anymore because there is such a stream of news. I'm sitting here watching this E3 coverage. I don't even know exactly when the E3 portion starts because there's so many events going on, and there's just so much news coming in. I can't keep up with it. Really frustrating as a content creator. Actually, really kind of hurts our channel because everybody's kind of paying attention to the big AAA stuff at that point.
Well, not even just that. Nobody knows what to focus on because there's so much going on.
Exactly,
you got to check out this demo and a review of this.
Yes,
and then
I agree.
This was just announced. And then, oh, this other studio's doing a showcase in an hour. And then...
And I just feel like you try to service so many different types of gamers, you end up really leaving everyone a little bit dissatisfied.
I think you're leaving a lot of people in the dust.
Because as someone who loves indie games and has an indie channel, I didn't feel like I had indie games well represented to me at all. I feel like I got quick reels of them and they were quickly moved on from. We didn't get any in-depth stuff too much that I saw anyways. I couldn't keep up with it, of course, but I think that's disappointing, and I do think that we need a better solution to this, but in a way we already have the solution. It's just we get the news every day now.
Yeah, so I mean, I wrote these question options and I was kind of thinking to myself that I get news every day.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah, and it's a slower rollout that way. You're not overwhelmed by it.
Between, you know, signing up for an email list or just watching a YouTube video like our weekly recap or something similar to that, you get news everywhere. And there's constantly new games coming out and being announced or being pushed back or DLC coming out for them.
Well, stop and think about it for a moment. Was there anything at any of these events that couldn't have just been announced at a different time and it didn't have to all be rolled out this way? Like, we get Nintendo Directs all the time. They didn't show anything that couldn't be announced at a later date.
For me, especially some of the very early stuff that they showed, like, what was the game?
With the Microsoft event? Or?
Contraband.
Yes.
I know nothing about what that game is. I just know that it's called Contraband because they didn't show any gameplay.
Are you thinking of Starfield?
No, Contraband.
Okay.
Literally, I don't know what the game is.
Oh, okay. And
unless I looked it up after the fact.
Because I was going to say Starfield was another one. We got like a CG trailer. And then it was like they said something about the game's been in development
25 years,
which we were trying to math that out. I don't know. Maybe someone has an answer. But that didn't make sense either. But yeah, you're right. You just get these trailers of CG. We know a game exists, but we don't really know that much more outside of that. Like, you do see some gameplay, and I know people are excited about certain things, like a new Metroid. That's awesome.
Sure.
We didn't need an E3 to hear about a new Metroid. It might have done it a disservice, in fact, because now everyone rushed out at once. It draw this huge attention,
or
and people can't even get the game.
Something like that's going to overshadow maybe a smaller game that only had a 5-second, you know,
yes,
reel in a you know, a different conference at the same time.
But that's just our opinions on this. Let's read some of the comments.
We
here.
Got a lot of opinions.
We had Rugo Beta write in and say they could go hybrid, still have an in-person event, but offer a pay-per-view type setup to stream live events. Now, to be fair, I don't know if it has to be E3 necessarily, but I'm not against in-person events. I think it is good to have that human connection still.
Yeah, I mean, we're not big convention folks ourselves.
No, just because I have anxiety disorder, that kind of makes me...
And I just don't like being around a lot of people, which probably means I have some deep-seated issues yes. myself, but that's okay.
You can drop the probably from that.
We don't have to go into that. But, there's definitely a place for those events, and not going to one last year, I did kind of miss just being able to experience, you know, hands-on new things coming out.
You know, as much as I might dislike it internally, it is important, and once you're actually at the event and embracing what it is, you feel a little bit more comfortable eventually with things. You're kind of around like-minded individuals. I think that's important, too, you know, to have that real connection. We connect through people with the Discord, and it's awesome, and I mm-hmm. have true... Like, I feel like life-lasting friendships from the Discord now, perhaps. And that's really awesome. But imagine, like, had we met in person, it would feel that much more personal.
Yeah. It's a great way to connect with like-minded individuals and to discover new products. So, I mean, I imagine going to an E3 event would be similar to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never actually been to E3 itself, but I've been to things like PAX East, and yes, it is overwhelming for me, and you have kind of some of the problems we talked about earlier where you can't get to everything, lines and that kind of thing. So yeah, there's pros and cons, I guess. Human connection is nice, but perhaps a mass of people isn't always the best, and then there's lines, and you don't really get to play the games.
But things like E3 are pretty limited for actual attendance, right?
I believe now they started doing it because basically, you could potentially be in a line for your whole E3 waiting to play a game.
Which
is like 3-4 hours of your E3 right there. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not fun, is it?
No.
Seth Gray writes in and says, E3 may still be around, but it'll be a shell of its former self. The big companies like Sony or Microsoft don't need to pay them six figures. I think we kind of talked about this earlier, for publicity anymore. Frankly, E3 needs them more than they need E3. I agree with that 100%, Seth Gray. The smaller companies need E3 more, but if the pricing isn't reduced, they'll just form more shows like the Guerrilla Collective and future game shows, and smaller indie shows, too. We have one kind of local to us called Boston Fig, which shows off a lot of great indies. They'll come from even Canada, travel
all
a little
over the
bit.
Place.
All over. It was super awesome, intimate, small event, perfect for an indie situation.
We discovered a ton of games that way.
And I thought way better than going to something like a PAX because you're just easily able to navigate.
Better
it.
For us, anyway.
Yes. Last comment here. Flower Angel Rave says, I think there will always be live events, mainly because I think a lot of people like the experience of visiting and seeing like-minded people in person. But now with digital stuff being more of a thing, we'll get digital events and news too. So Flower Angel sees a combination going forward for the prolonged period of time, I guess.
And I think that's probably right, honestly. I agree.
Yeah, I think that probably is the case. I don't see a situation where they're ever fully getting away from in person, but there are realities here. The costs are enormous, I'm sure, to do that.
They are, but they must make a good amount of money from them
as
well.
Another kind of negative to it as a positive is that the indie developers and publishers have to pay quite a bit for that booth space too.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to really take a gamble in a way to get their product out there and hope that enough people are shown it.
But isn't that just business in general?
That's business, yeah. You know, we run a business. Certainly we take a gamble here at I Dream of Indie, you know, so sometimes you make money, sometimes you don't make any money.
Ours is probably a little
right
less
now,
significant than
we don't make any money.
Producing a game and making a booth and going to E3, but
right. All right, Silent Science, this has been kind of a long show, so we'll make the last topic
What else
quick.
Is
not
new?
Not to not say it's not an important topic.
You don't like talking to me? What?
No, I love talking to you. In fact, I do it for a living.
That is weirdly true.
Last topic I just want to touch on real quick here. The obsession with remakes and reboots. Obviously, everything nowadays seems to be a reboot or a remake or going back to something from the past. Something from which I can appreciate because I'm old. They call me Old Gamer Joe for a reason. I'm in my later 30s now. you're still, you know, blossoming into your 30s, kind of the earlier parts of it, but you're getting nostalgic for the 90s now, right? And you're starting to feel even the 80s to a degree.
That existential crisis is kicking in real good.
Not to date you there, but I think you probably have multiple times at this
point. You hardly know me. Just kidding.
What do you think, Silent Signs, about this? Everything kind of becoming more of a remake or a reboot.
It is.
Movies, I mean, too, right? It's not just games.
I was just going to say, this is not something that's just about games. I'm talking about board games, movies, books, TV series. Everything is a spinoff or a reboot or a reimagining or a remastering of something that already exists. And
sure.
It's kind of frustrating.
How many times have the Ninja Turtles come back now?
A lot.
You know, I'm not complaining at the same time. I'm not frustrated by this, actually. I disagree with you there because I love seeing old properties. I'm a 90s kid. Of course I want to see new Ninja Turtles beat-em-up games.
So, yes and no. Where do I even begin with this?
Did I catch you there?
I enjoy seeing some things come back, but sometimes we don't get what we wanted out of it.
And oh, so you're saying it can be a bad interpretation of the thing we love.
It's disappointing, and then it taints the original thing that we had such a fond memory of.
Does it really taint the original thing, though? Because I wonder that. The original thing still exists. It didn't go anywhere. You're just getting a crappy new version. Like, so say, for example, someone was saying the new Powerpuff Girls sucks. I don't know. I didn't watch it. But let's say that's true. The new Powerpuff Girls sucks. The old one still exists. Nobody looks down on that one anymore, right?
No, I wouldn't imagine they would, but I don't know. I think it can happen.
Like, I think it's more what you're trying to say is that you're disappointed that it wasn't good.
Yeah, right? But I also think that something can be done to death where I don't need another
Ren and Stimpy coming back.
Godzilla kind of movie Godzilla. Reboot. I don't. I don't need it. I'm good.
Right.
I've had enough big dinosaurs, you know?
And yet they still make a lot of money and people enjoy it.
I'm sure they do. You know, and I'm sure that there are people that disagree with me, and that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think things can be done to death, and that I would sometimes just appreciate an original idea just
sometimes
once
maybe
in a while.
It's okay for something to go away, I think. Maybe we don't. Like, they tried to bring Ren and Stimpy back once already.
Ooh.
It wasn't very good. And I know you, yeah, there's a whole other story behind Ren and Stimpy. But
yeah.
Now it doesn't work. Nobody likes it coming back. They try it again years later. Like, okay, well, now we'll try again. Do we really need to try these things 3 times, 4 times? Beavis and Butthead coming back? I feel like a lot of these properties had their time and their place.
Yeah, and that's the problem, too, is that they were very stuck in their time. You know, they had their time.
It was done, so it's not funny anymore.
And that brand of comedy doesn't always translate well to 2021.
Right. I think you're right, Silent Signs. It's different to go back and look at something through a nostalgic lens. Like, I'll go back to old Beavis and Butthead episodes and I'll kind of laugh and I'll say, oh, I remember this episode, but I have that connection. But a new viewer, I just don't think it's going to be the same because they didn't grow up on that brand of humor.
Even watching, say, an episode of an old television show that you used to enjoy, you know, I'm trying to think of like SNL even, like to watch an old SNL skit that you thought was so funny in the time and place that you watched it. Watching it now,
I haven't laughed at SNL in like 15,
I'm just saying,
years,
watching it now 20 years later, it's probably not as funny as you remember it.
You don't have Chris Farley falling through the table anymore or any of that stuff. And if you did, it would just be like kind of try hard. It wouldn't be funny anymore because it was done. Let us know what you think in the comments section below of all the topics. Some interesting ones this week, Silent Signs. Toxicity in gaming communities, the relevance of E3, and the obsession with remakes and reboots. We want to hear what you think. We hope you enjoyed this latest episode of Force Feedback. Thanks so much. Silent Signs, let's get back to work.
Okay.
It was fun. Thanks for having this conversation. An important conversation.
Anytime. I'll see you in another room.
All right.
Later.
Thank you so much for watching the latest video from I Dream of Indie. We'd now like to take a moment to thank our great indie warriors, Mitchell Hall, Kevalo, Bunny, Bill Tikas, Christian Cruz, Strict9, Rosie Syntex, Chris Jackson, Nathan Moore, Peach, Adriana Amato, CJR, Jesse, Falco Lombardi, C-Coil, and Skepticism. Thank you for all you do for independent games, developers, publishers, and for I Dream of Indie. Help us bring a voice to the voiceless by heading down to the description box below or head on over to idreamofindie.com and let's stop that echo chamber.